Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning our guest is Anita Ayres-Henderlite, and she is Executive Director of the Africa Education and Leadership Initiative. Good morning to you, Anita.
Good morning.
Anita, we're really happy to have you here, and that's mainly because, one of the main reasons is that you're visiting Judy and Joe Marnin, and of course Judy met you in Africa when she made a visit. So let's talk about this project, give us some basic information about the Africa Education and Leadership Initiative.
Thank you. Africa Education and Leadership Initiative, mostly known as ELI, we work to provide access to young people in South Sudan, access to a high school education. We have discovered that the majority of girls, especially, rarely make it beyond the eighth grade. And that's not really very fair. It's not optimal. And so we have people from around the world, really, who have joined in our efforts to improve the education opportunities for those girls and allow them a chance to learn how to read and write
and be leaders.
Be leaders.
Yes. And we're going to come back to that. But before we do that, how did you get involved with this project, Anita?
In 2005, I read a book written by the Lost Boys of Sudan. It was called They Poured Fire on Us from the Sky. I had no idea what that meant. And so I discovered that it was how the children caught up in warfare viewed the bombs that were being dropped on them from the sky. It looked like fire from the sky. When I discovered this story of so many children trying to escape warfare and learned that 3,600 of those children arrived in the United States in 2001, I thought, this is an incredible story of resilience, of really being able to overcome adversity. And I wanted to meet them. I wanted to find these lost boys and to discover where they are in life now. How do they feel about their country? And a peace agreement was signed in 2005. So did they want to return to South Sudan? Did they see themselves as a part of the leadership moving forward in this country? So there was a lot of motivation, especially after I did meet lost boys. You know, they said, go to Sudan. And so I packed my bags and I went to Sudan.
Where you went. Were there schools already established when you arrived there?
Very few. Our goal is to focus on secondary school, which is high school. The government had put in place, along with international partners, more elementary schools. So for those who did make it to the eighth grade, where could they go? Mm. What could they do? We knew we wanted to focus on giving them a place, an environment where they could continue to learn. So we said, let's go build high schools in South Sudan.
So building, I mean, that's a sort of engineering project. That's where you have to start because you have to have some place to gather children.
Oh, we started from literally the ground up. We made our own bricks. We had a crew, 72 local laborers that we were able to hire who were all South Sudanese. They went down to the Yei River. They dug up sand, mixed it with water, concrete, put it in a block, and we made brick by brick these schools in South Sudan.
Were you amazed?
Yes. Am I still amazed?
Yes. So how many schools are you working with at this point?
Right now, well, we started out with our original school. Mm-hmm. We expanded to working with approximately 12 different schools in what's called the Yei River County region of South Sudan. When we took a look at resources and capacity, we determined that we would focus on building up two of those schools. So over the years, We have been able to experience education in a variety of locations, but have really come to focus on two secondary schools that we give our attention to right now.
Okay. Now, you mentioned earlier that it's really important, or it's the girls who often don't have this opportunity, but these schools are for both boys and girls.
They are now. We started out originally for girls. And we still work to make sure that the majority of our sponsorships are for girls. However, there have been boys along the way that have also had some very traumatic experiences with no access, or what they thought was no access to further education. And so circumstances being what they are, we said, okay, we'll take some boys too.
Are most of these children in family homes, or, you know, are their parents not there for them?
We have a large majority of children orphaned by war, as well as some who even, you know, girls being married at such a young age in South Sudan, some of them are even widowed. So they have come to live with us in a boarding location, and they are most welcome, no matter whether they have parents or not.
Okay, so those needs just sort of keep expanding. You start with the basic thing, you know, education is what your goal is, but there are so many other things that are included there to make it happen.
It's true. You it's a very holistic approach. The environment is such that, you know, we take care of health needs, you know, all the way if they have malaria to making sure that they get care for that. And so often, I think in America, there's been a great focus on having mosquito nets, right? Malaria, mm-hmm. to prevent malaria. We have a lot of waterborne diseases. So everything from their health to their learning and to their leadership ability, we try and take a look at the whole child and approach it from what is the best that we have to offer those children. And education is really, that's the avenue toward peace.
And that sort of is a partial answer. I was just going to ask, so why should we in Southwest Iowa be concerned about this? Why should we be interested? Why should we care?
We do live in a global society now, and we're as strong as our weakest link. I think that we have witnessed, especially over the last few years, what can happen when people are not educated and when they choose warfare over diplomacy. The results can be very tragic and traumatic for all of us. So on any continent, anywhere in the world, the children deserve education. And it's the great equalizer. It doesn't matter if you come from a rich country or a poor country, but if you both have a high school education, no one can take that from you, and you can speak the same language.
All right. I want to hear a success story. You've been working with them long enough. I want to hear at least one success story, because that has to be so exciting.
It is. I'm going to tell you about Betty. One of our students, her name is Betty. She graduated, one of our very first graduates. We began the program, our first school was built in 2008, so we've had time to have several classes now. Betty, after graduation, enrolled herself into a teacher training college, a two-year program. Well, we pay for a high school education, so there are not resources from our organization for anything beyond at this point. So she took a job as a nursery school worker from 8 a.m. until 1 p.m. She earned 300 South Sudanese pounds. At that time, it was equivalent to about $75 a month. Her education, her teacher training college, cost 150 pounds a month. So she was able to take half of her salary, invest it in her own education, and use the rest to take care of her needs. She graduated from her teacher training program, worked for a year as a teacher, and last year accepted a job as a head teacher of one of the local elementary schools.
So you kept in touch, and I'm sure she comes
yes.
back and says, look at what's happened.
Oh,
thank you.
Goodness gracious, yes. We're so proud of her and of the other graduates who have gone on. They're like kids in America. They make choices, and some choose to go on to higher education if they have resources available. Some prefer to go directly to work, and others return to a more traditional lifestyle. They might go home and choose marriage and children, but they're like kids anywhere. They make choices after they are equipped with knowledge.
And they still have their education.
That's right.
Okay. Thanks to you and many other folks. I want to do mention, because we just have kind of scratched the surface of all this, that you will be speaking in a number of other places. 1:30 at the United Methodist Women Church in Wyota today. And on Thursday, the Kiwanis Pizza Ranch in Atlantic at noon, 1:40 to 2:30 at the Atlantic High School. 6:30 Thursday night, Iowa Western Community College, that's open to the public. And finally on Friday, May 15th at Griswold Optimus at 7 a.m. Anita's been on a very busy schedule, but it's you want to hear some more success stories and you want to know more about the program, you want to hear Anita tell you some more of what's going on. And again, if you have any questions, follow up after Anita is gone on her way, Judy Martin will be the person to contact. We want to thank you very much, Anita Hinderlite, for visiting with us. And remember, as she said, the world is global. We're all a part of it.